141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Scottish football's in mourning this evening after the sad passing of Fernando Rixon after his battle with motor neuron disease. On the field, Rangers have a job to do against Feyenoord tomorrow with Celtic at Rennes, and Gary Caldwell's been sacked as the manager of Partick Thistle. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Stephen McGowan and Jim Duffy, and I'm pleased to say we're also joined in the studio by one of Fernando Rixon's former teammates, Alex Ray, who's joined us to share his thoughts and memories. Alex, clearly a very, very sad day for many people across world football.
Yeah, absolutely, Gordon. It was when the news broke this morning, it was difficult to take. I got a text a few days ago to say he was in a difficult place. It didn't make it any easier today, and you can see the mourning, as you say. You know, he's got a young family, extremely difficult time for them, and our thoughts are with them. And it's united the football world. You know, it's not just Rangers. You know, you see all the kind of tributes coming in today from all over.
Stephen McGowan, there is a great sadness across the footballing spectrum. We know, we have followed Fernando's difficult journey in the past few years. There was an inevitability, a knowledge that this day would come. It doesn't make it any easier, and it's been really sad to see all the tributes this afternoon.
It really is. But, you know, listen, people were entitled to mourn their death, and it's absolutely the right. But I always think with a guy with the achievements of Fernando Rixon, we should celebrate his life. You know, I mean, he won women's song, 7 major trophies, he captained Rangers Helicopter Sunday, he won 12 caps in the Netherlands, a family who loved him, and his resistance to terminal illness was an inspiration to everybody. So, you know, his life only lasted 43 years, but what a 43 years it was.
Yeah, I mean, Steve's right. You know, he crammed a lot in, Fernando. And I think, you know, as a player, I mean, he wore his heart on his sleeve. And any player that plays for Rangers, the first thing the fans want to see is playing for the jersey. And that's exactly what he did. He gave 100% in every game. Listen, like any player, you'll know, always had great games. And we know there was a lot of off-the-field stuff that made you smile and made you cringe at times. But, you know, that was part of his character and part of his personality. And again, without that, then you probably didn't have half the player. So, I mean, it's a very, very sad day. And as I said, condolences to his family. As I said, and he fought so bravely for over 6 years, Gordon, you know, to a horrific disease in motor neuron, but he just fought it with the same desire and commitment he had as a player.
We've got two massive games in Europe tomorrow night. Of course, we're building up to them. 01419511025 to have your thoughts. But let's start. There really is only one place to start tonight, and that's with your tributes and memories to Fernando Rixon, who sadly passed away at 43 years of age, 6 years after revealing his battle with motor neuron disease. So give us it all. Give us your memories. Maybe you've been fortunate enough to meet him. Maybe you remember watching him. Maybe you just want to pay tribute and you're a fan of another team as well. So get all your thoughts into us on the phones, 01419511025, or on Twitter at ClydeSSB. How will you remember him, Alex?
Okay, he was just a brilliant teammate, Gordon. We struck up a really good friendship, Jim. I think I was attracted to his madness. I seen similarities to myself. He was, as Stephen just said there, loved to party, loved to be out and about and causing carnage. And then you had the other side where he was an unbelievable footballer. I know Jim's saying about wearing your hat on your sleeve, but this boy had ability as well. Mm. He was extremely committed. He was brutal in training, because you know you do the boxes on a Friday, Jim, and you're trying to kind of just kind of take it nice and easy and take the mickey. He's trying to fit people because he's getting a little bit of take.
So lunging in.
I used to say to myself, see if he does that again, I'm going to huff him. I'm going to attack him, because he was no prisoner. So he trained the way he played. And it was just great. I was thinking some of the things I could share in terms of we had a 70s party at the house at the festive period. And it was he turned up as a pimp, you know. He did. he turned up with that, and then we produced fireworks later on. I said, "You're the man for these fireworks." I've never seen him back off. He went, "I'm not getting near them again." These fireworks were bouncing all over the house in Bear's Den, Jim. So you know, so he had that. But in terms of how do you remember him? Mm-hmm. I was the guy that lifted the trophy. It was one of the most important days in my career. You know, he led us throughout that season. And to give you an idea of how popular he was, we lost the first fixture of the split to Celtic 2-1 at Ibrox. And afterwards we had the PFA Awards where he was nominated with John Hartson to share it. And a lot of the guys were going, no danger, because effectively everyone felt as if it was going to be, you know, the title had gone. But every single one to a man went just to support Fernando, even though it was just a difficult time for everyone due to the result.
And the journey over the last 6 years or so has been an extremely difficult one. And I know that you've been there on that journey as well, visiting him as often as you could. The latter stages of his life, how will you... we remember that period?
Extremely difficult, Gordon. Seeing the deterioration of this guy, because Jim and I were been in dressing rooms where guys have been extremely athletic. You know, I always felt as if I was decent fitness levels, you know, get round the park and so forth. Whenever we'd done a running session, Fernando was always up the front. He had just that, and there was only a few players over the career that you could actually say these guys were. So to see him deteriorate in the manner. So you obviously seen him losing the ability to walk, and then his voice went. I was finding it more and more difficult, and we'd done a fundraiser for the hospice with myself and Marvin Andrews. It was a race night, and they raised a right few £1,000. I think it was £9,000 for the charity foundation. And Conal Cochran, the guy, said to me, "Would you like to come up and we'll present the cheque to the hospice because they're doing such a good job for Fernando?" I says, "I'm not sure I can do it, mate." So I went away and reflected, because I was struggling to see the deterioration. So I sat for a few days, Jim, and what I was thinking was, if I'm struggling with this, how is he feeling? Because he's actually lost his ability to walk. He couldn't even speak, and he was just making noises, and I'm thinking, this is too much. The saving grace towards the end was that he got the computer, which he could text with his eyes. And although his body was kind of shutting down, I can't share this on air, but I said something to him as I'm whispering. I could see him tighten with his eyes, because he'd lost the ability to move,
and the eyes still light up.
So his eyes were lighting up, and he texts this thing, Jim, and I'll tell you the next break what he said. But I referred to one of the nurses. But it was great, and it was just a lovely joke. He hadn't lost his sense of humour, and the fact that he actually got to communicate with people made it so much more easier.
His brain was still shut.
Sharp as a tack, Jim.
And I guess that side of it, that contrast between this super fit and we sort of look at these players, don't we? But we build them up to be superhuman, and then
I think that's a really interesting point. We do in this part of the world.
The disaster strikes.
Yeah, we think of them as masters of the universe, immortals, and we treat them like that. Footballers are just. Ask Alex Ray. You know, footballers are just normal mortals, aren't you? You're just normal guys, but we build you up, and we think your lives are perfect, but. You know, illnesses like motor neuron disease, they're no respecter of status or social class.
Do you know the interesting thing about that? When you talk about Jim, we all have people. When I was at Ibrox as a boy in East Enclosure, my dad, I used to look at guys like Tam Forsyth and John Gregg, and I seen guys that were 6 feet eight, you know. And now when I'm giant. In their company, you see they're only 6 feet one or so, you know, they're no. But when you're looking through
You think they're indestructible, don't you?
Absolutely. But the thing is, they were lethal in the 70s. They're allowed to volley people all over the place.
0141 951 1025. That's the number you need to get in touch tonight. Let's reflect on the sad passing of Fernando Wrexham, but this can be a time of celebration as well. Give us your memories, your stories. I'm sure he kept you entertained on and off the field over his time in Scotland. I know you've all got something on your mind tonight, so if you want to share it, we'd love to have you. 0141 951 1025, or on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's hear from the current Rangers manager, Stephen Gerrard. He says Fernando Wrexham was a warrior on and off the park. The Rangers boss says he could see the fight the Dutchman had in him when he met him recently, and he hopes that the team can put on a good tribute to him tomorrow.
Very sad news for everyone connected to the club, more importantly his young family. So on behalf of the club, I would like to pay tribute. You know, he was a fantastic player. He had a decorated career. I think he played with his heart on his sleeve. He was that type. And I think that was epitomised when he was taken ill in 2013. I think he was given 18 months to live at the time, and he's fought ever so hard up to this point. So I think that sums up the character, the warrior type on the pitch and off the pitch. But we certainly send our condolences to his young family. Yeah, I think he was a fantastic ambassador and role model for the club, the way he played, but also the way he handled himself off the pitch. I was lucky enough to meet him a couple of times recently as well, when you could see that he was in pain and suffering, but you could see the fight he was still putting up with. So it's very sad news, but he certainly deserves all the accolades that are going to come his way, because I think he handled himself not just as a footballer, but as a human being, more importantly. I'm sure there will be a lot of emotions in the stadium tomorrow, and I think Fernando deserves that. I'm sure both sets of supporters will pay the respect, and we ask the supporters to get right behind the team, because I think it'll be a nice tribute to him if we can put in a good performance and try and get maximum points. And I think everyone knows before the balls kick, if that was the case, we'd certainly dedicate it to him and his family.
01419511025. If you want to pay tribute to Fernando Rixon or share your memories and stories, that's the number you need. Mark is just along the road there in Clydebank. Hi, Mark.
Good evening, gents. How are we doing?
Yeah, good, Mark. Hey, Mark.
I'm a Celtic fan, but I'd like to sort of pay tribute to Fernando from a Celtic perspective. I'll take you back, first of all, to the 6-2 game when Celtic beat Rangers 6-2, and Fernando had a torrid time, it's fair to say, against Bobby Petter, and he was hooked after, it was 29 minutes. Following on from that game, he became a bit of a for a short period anyway, a figure of ridicule among the Celtic fans, and a wee bit of a scapegoat, perhaps, among some of the Rangers fans who partly blamed him for that result. The mental toughness and the incredible attributes that he showed, not only to recover from that, but to go on to be arguably the best right back in Scotland, have a glittered career for Rangers, representing them, I think it was 180 games, I think he played for the club, the Champions League, several caps for Holland. Incredible strength of character, because he would have felt that out in the streets of Glasgow. Both Arne Shine coming forward, Fernando, and slagging him for the game and all that. It was an incredibly tough time for him personally, and many players would have crumbled under that kind of pressure. But he didn't. He done the exact opposite. Same as he done when he was diagnosed in 2013. He battled on, and he proved everyone wrong, including us on our side of the divide, if you like. So I'm tipping my hat to him. An absolute fantastic gentleman, and Glasgow mourns his loss today, not just the Rangers fans.
Yeah, well said, Mark. Is that the type of character you recognise, Alex? That that ability to sort of bounce back from adversity?
Yeah, without doubt. I remember the game, and you're obviously putting question marks. He absolutely terrorised that day by Bobby, but I think it's the mark of him in terms of how he bounced back. And, I think it's the words that Mark shares there's apt in terms of both sides of the divide. They've obviously, it's the same old story. We live in Glasgow and in the West Coast and the Rangers fans and thing. But when it comes to times like this, I think that's it's important to recognise. And just to kind of carry on in terms of the best right back, he went into midfield the year the Rangers won the league. So for a right back to then adapt, it just gives you an inclination of how good a player he was. Because I think, if my memory serves me right, I think he got about 9 goals that year. He was scoring goals as well. He's free kicks and things. So he had a wide range of things. I think it's important to recognise that. And I think it was a dozen caps he got for Holland, which is not an easy thing to do either.
And Stephen, in your role covering the matches, I'm sure you'll remember that. And we're extremely knee-jerk in this part of the world, in case you hadn't noticed. So he would have been written off that day. Yeah. That would have been it. Dud, forget that. But the strength of character and the ability to bounce back as well.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he actually had 3 red cards against Celtic. Might be wrong about it. I think after that, at that point, you didn't fancy his chances. But, whereas to begin with, you thought he was a bit of a hothead, you see what he is now. He was a warrior. Everything was a fight and he won every fight. And I think what's great about Mark's call is that when we live in a part of the world where football players, managers, they attract so much abuse and vitriol, particularly in social media. We all love to hate the other side. But, sometimes you look at this and you see that Fernando Rixon could take so much comfort in those 6 years from the fact that fans of all clubs and none held him in enormous regard for the way he set about motor neurone disease.
Absolutely.
It shouldn't need illness or death to bring respect back to Scottish football. But in those 6 years, he went from a hothead to a warrior. And he was loved, he was admired, and in the end, he was so appreciated. And we can't say much further than that, can we?
I mean, Jim, that's I'd imagine, as a manager or a football type, that's the type of character you're looking for. You're not looking for guys who are perfect, but you're looking for guys who can bounce back when the imperfect moments come around.
Yeah, I mean, it's football's relatively easy when everything's going great. When it's not going great, that's when you get the test. That's when you realise who has the bottle, who has the mental toughness, particularly when you're playing for a club like Rangers. And the other thing is, respect is a huge aspect of that from the opposition players, the opposition fans. And for Fernando, as a right back, pretty much, it's not many have managed to get the PFA Player of the Year alongside John Hartson that year, and they shared it. But that shows you that the respect that the opposition players, because they're voting for him. And he's one of those ones where the opposition fans, hated him, but the fact is they would love to have him in his team. And that's always a the mark of a good player, yeah. Because you don't want to be liked with opposition fans. I mean, yeah. Alec will tell you that. He was never liked by anybody, even his own fans. But no, you don't. You don't want opposition fans to like you. But that shows you that when you're respected and they understand and they appreciate the qualities of a player. So although there'll be many tributes, you know, and rightfully directed towards Fernando tonight, let's not underestimate, as Alex said there, 12 caps for Holland, you know, captain the title winning time, and also Europa winner with Zenit. You know what I mean? Yep. He's went to Zenit, mm-hmm. St. Petersburg, a massive club, huge club, and managed to win it against Rangers, ironically enough. So let's not forget his achievements as a footballer. They were outstanding.
Gordon, what a question that was you've just asked the Duffer. Did you enjoy working with Kira? Tougher ones, yeah. He's standing next to one.
No, but obviously you work with different players at different times and characters, and he was a bit like Gaza in the sense of he kept you on your toes all the time. Obviously I know a lot of the stories. I was in his company a few times, you know, and Alec obviously played alongside him, so the guys that played alongside him got a lot more information than I have. But I do know from speaking to the guys over the years that he was a larger than life character, that's for sure.
Mark and Clydebank, that was a lovely tribute to kick us off. Thank you very much for the call. It's 0141 951 1025. What about the memories, Rangers fans? Dig into that memory bank. What about a favourite goal, a standout moment, something you remember from the career of Fernando Rixon? We'd love to hear it from you tonight. 0141 951 1025. We'll speak to another former teammate and hear Neil Lennon's condolences next as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Stephen McGowan, Jim Duffy and Alex Ray joining me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we pay tribute to Fernando Rixon, who sadly passed away following his battle with motor neuron disease. Some great stories though. There's more happiness than sadness I'm detecting on the show tonight, because some great memories coming in. So if you've got any to share, please do. 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from Neil Lennon. He's also been paying tribute, came across each other many times, rivals on the field. Here's what Neil Lennon, the Celtic boss, had to say this evening.
It's tragic. I'm very, very upset for his family, obviously, for someone, you know, who I played against in many battles, in a time where, you know, both teams are very, very strong in Glasgow, in a very good era for Scottish football. And, you know, for the Glasgow public to lose him at such a young age is devastating. He put up an unbelievable fight. And as a player, he got better and better in his time in Glasgow at Rangers. So to the point where he became Player of the Year. He turned out to be an outstanding footballer, you know, great competitor. He was emotional to start with in his career, but he really matured into a very fine player. So our condolences go obviously to his family and obviously the Glasgow Rangers as well. It's a huge loss, and I've felt it myself, you know, for someone who I played against for a long, long time.
And that's perhaps the other side of it, Stephen, which we don't see. We see these guys on the field and kicking lumps out each other, and you build up this image in your head that they hate each other, and maybe in some cases they do, but more often than not there's that mutual respect there because they experience the exact same things as each other.
Well, you think back to the Alan Thompson, they were neighbours, weren't they? Intense rivals. They were shouting through the letterbox at 5 a.m. I mean, Fernando, he was known for pyrotechnics on the pitch and off the pitch. But, you know, and his life was a bit like a firework because, you know, he kind of, when the fuse was lit, you didn't know what direction he was heading in. You didn't know where it would land. You know, he was unpredictable. Every minute was high octane. But as a Rangers player, you know, he brought light and he brought colour to the Glasgow skyline. And, you know, his fire burned bright, even against motor neuron disease. And that is why people are now completely reassessing the fact. We all knew he was a good player. What we didn't know was just what an outstanding human being he was.
Lee is a Rangers fan on the line. You got any standout memories, Lee?
Yeah, evening panel. Hi, I was just saying, for me, that the two greatest memories of Fernando being a Rangers fan, the first one is the Old Firm game at Celtic Park just after half time. I think Celtic were winning 1-0. The whole crowd are singing "You'll Never Walk Alone," and then Fernando Rixon popped up just after kickoff and equalised. And I think it's one of the only times in an Old Firm game I've ever seen the whole of Celtic Park just stop singing in an instant. It was quite unique. I don't think I've ever seen it since. You know, literally the whole crowd have got the scarves up. The noise is deafening. And then after about 40 seconds from kickoff in the second half, Fernando jumps in where we had a, and at the bottom corner, and you know, in our corner when we were celebrating, it was just probably one of my greatest old firm moments, although we went on to lose that game. The second one, the one that I always laugh when I think about Fernando Rixon, I can't remember the game, I can't remember much about it, but we played Zenit St. Petersburg in a friendly at Ibrox, and when his name was read out, he got a big cheer, and every time he touched the ball, Ibrox was, you know, erupting for him and clapping and singing all these songs. And then about 10 minutes into the game, I think it was Chris Burke, he nearly chopped him in half. I think in an average game it would have been a red card. I think it's like what Alex said earlier, it was two-footed over the ball. Wee Burke's trying to do some step over or something and literally nearly killed him. And then as fans, you're sitting there going, do we cheer him? Do we boo him? You know, what do we do? It was a good memory. Just, you know, Fernando Rixon, from a Rangers point of view, will go down a legend in many fans' eyes for what he did for the club. You know, he's left some great memories behind, but I think it's good to agree with what you're all saying and, you know, what the Celtic fan was saying earlier, what a player he was. Alex touched on it when he moved into central midfield. As a fan, you're thinking, what's he doing? You know, why is he moving him there, kind of thing? But he ran the show that season. His free kicks were incredible. And, you know, it was just a joy to watch him as he got older playing with Rangers. It's a shame the way he left. Personally, I think he should have stayed and retired at Rangers. He could have went on to do so much more in the club. But obviously, you know, whatever happened on that flight to South Africa happened. But yeah, a definite legend. He'll be missed. But I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I think it's touching that Rangers tomorrow are playing a team from his home country. So I think it'll be nice to see what Rangers and Feyenoord do tomorrow to kind of celebrate the life of this.
Yeah, I think
magnificent man.
Really well said, Lee. Enjoyed the memories. I could see Alex nodding along. In fact, when you started, Alex did the universal sign for headering the ball. He was headering the ball in the studio here because he knew what was coming. You'll recognise a lot of what Lee had to say there, Alex. I'm
yeah,
sure.
Without doubt. I think I was the first guy to grab him as well. I think I grabbed him round the neck and body slammed him to the deck, shouting, "You're a beauty." But we did go and lose that game. I think it ended up 2-1. But it was a good moment, as Lee says. And I think that's a great thing about folk who are reflecting today, Gordon, because they're actually get individual memories. And I think that's a great thing about footballers. They have the ability to imprint an image or a moment on people's minds. And you know, I'm sure there'll be plenty across the board.
And Jim Duffy, another point that Lee touches on, which is bang on the money, tomorrow playing against Feyenoord, yeah, the Dutch team, even if it wasn't, but it's just that, no, that added 1%. You can just imagine the, it'll be a poignant atmosphere tomorrow, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be very emotional, you know, for a lot of the supporters in particular. And I think obviously former players, obviously the current players probably won't know too much about Fernando, but obviously he's you know, get that reputation obviously in Holland as well. But, you know, as I said, it's a difficult one because it will be emotional and you know, there will be a different type of atmosphere, I think, at the start of the game. You know, that you know, should help the Rangers players in terms of the game. It's certainly at the start of the game, you know, you would expect Rangers to come out, you know, really up for it and, you know, just I suppose, using that positivity and that atmosphere that was generated by the feeling for Fernando. But it is a difficult one because I think that the fans in particular who have seen him playing and, you know, who will miss him, it'll be a difficult time. But I think that there'll be obviously full respect and, you know, that acknowledgement of, as I said, of being a Rangers captain. Let's not forget he was a Rangers captain, you know, and I think, you know, there's not many people can say that. You know, there's a lot of fantastic players that have played for Rangers over the many, many decades, but didn't go on to lift a title as a captain.
It was interesting, I read quotes from Malcolm McCoy today. He was talking about that, how when Barry Ferguson came back to the club, he kept Fernando Rixon the captain, right, because when he gave Fernando Rixon the captaincy, he hoped to get more maturity from him. I think he hoped to cut out some of the front pages and concentrate on the back pages. And by and large, it worked. It's a really collective responsibility, isn't it, with politicians?
Yeah.
He embraced it and he grew and he matured. And I think if you look at a generation of Rangers fans now, of a certain age, What's the most iconic day for Rangers in recent in modern history? It's absolutely Easter Road that day. You know, with a helicopter Sunday. Fernando Rixon lifted the trophy. He was the captain in one of the most iconic days in Rangers history.
Sandy is in Airdrie on the line. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen.
Hi, Sandy.
Thanks very much for your time. I think what I've recognised as well, I'm not an Old Firm follower or supporter, but the one thing I've recognised tonight is the way it brings the Old Firm together when there's a passing of a legend in the eyes of both clubs. But the main reason for calling tonight is, as Alex has mentioned earlier, he has been up to Airdrie Hospice. I lost a friend of mine a couple of years back, died from pancreatic cancer, and he went into Airdrie Hospice, and as Alex will tell you, it's a fantastic service they provide, the full support, the care they provide, and it's just to point out to everyone, this place is totally run on donations and charity. Every single bit of money that is raised is by volunteers that goes into the hospice. And I don't know the exact sum for a weekly running bill of the place, but it is absolutely remarkable the amount of money they need every single week to keep going. I'm just looking at you know, the Rangers support. You know, they're all, everybody feels the same. And if they would just take a moment to maybe even consider making a small donation to Airdrie Hospice. I've got nothing to do with the hospice. I just know the work they do. But I think it'd be fantastic. Just somebody, the price of a pint, a pie, whatever, just make a donation to Airdrie Hospice. You would get it on, just Google it on the internet and make a donation.
Yeah, I think,
support me on that, guys.
I think that's well said from Sandy, because there's been so much support from all quarters really in the last 6 years, Alex, and that's what's been encouraging. Going back to something I said earlier, there was an inevitability. This is a terminal illness. Yeah. We knew this day would come, but at the same time, maybe people took a bit of strength from the way that people managed to sort of rally around and provide support.
Yeah, without doubt. I think Sandy's absolutely right. The hospice and the work that they do, Gordon, is absolutely remarkable. You know, when you go up there and you actually see the actual individual care that they get, is remarkable. And he's right, if someone has got it's not just the Airdrie Hospice, there's plenty of similar places around, and if you can donate something, because they do tremendous work.
Sandy, thank you very much for the call, much appreciated. It's 01419511025. Let's hear from another former teammate, Bert Conterman. He's been picking his favourite memories. He says he'll always remember Fernando Rixon's passion. He says his teammates squared up to Dick Advocaat at half time in his first Old Firm game, but that's just showed how much he cared.
What I liked the most about Fernando was his passion. Never forget a moment with Advocaat in our first Old Firm at Parkhead, and it was a disaster for Fernando and for myself. He got a red card against Bobby Petta. I got a few bad moments with Henrik Lassen. In the dressing room, half-time, Fernando got a discussion with Dick Advocaat, also a passionate person and a passionate manager, and they both stood nose against nose. And that's, I think, which guy Fernando is, a fighter. He was on the pitch and off the pitch sometimes, but also against his disease. And the same was with Dick Advocaat, also a fighter, a guy from the street. So I love the passion and the fighting spirit of Fernando. And in this first Old Firm, a bad one for us both, it was nice to recognize his spirit. And fortunately, later on, his spirit was great in nice games with Rangers when we beat Celtic and when we beat big opponents. So yeah, I love the passionate of Fernando.
Does that sound about right, Alex Ray?
I'm standing here with a big smile. Obviously the listeners won't know that. It is spot on. And the reason why I say that, he had no issues fronting anybody in the dressing room, Jim, if he felt as if, and he was very opinionated. A lot of the times I thought he was off the wall into some of his opinions. I'm going, that's absolute nonsense, sit down. And but he was steadfast and I was saying earlier on, I've got so many similarities. The amount of managers over the year I've had disagreements with and been able to, but it does, it shows you that they care, Jim. You know, it's these ones that sit there and go, oh, he's talking a lot of nonsense, and he's willing to put himself forward, because some managers just show you the door.
Talk to us a bit about that madness then. You say that's what drew you to Fernando Eriksen. I'm sure people have heard the story. Stephen alluded to a couple earlier on. I mean, shouting through the letterbox of Alan Thompson. There's stories about pushing a Rangers chairman into a swimming pool. You've got, and there was an expensive watch involved, by all accounts. Then one of the callers brought up the flight.
Yes.
Were there clothes involved or not? I don't know if there are any PG versions of the stories that you can tell us that might exemplify what you were dealing with.
Big Alec McLeish was great. We went to Toronto as well, Jim, and we had Dire Straits one night, the Blue Jays the following night. And then Big Red said, "This is late, guys. I'll give you a couple of beers." He's been working extremely hard. It was about 95 degrees. And in terms of the running that was involved, when we go back to our days, Jim, it was really, really intense. So he says, "I'll let you have a beer until midnight." And they've managed to squeeze it to 12:30 or something. They've nicked another half an hour off Big Red. And then they decided to stay out for another hour.
Of course.
And Big Red was seething. He stood at the door, by the way. Him and Fernando nearly came to blows because Big Red's going, "You're fine, 2 weeks' wages." And Fernando's coming back to him going, "No danger." So this is about 1:30 in the morning. So
there's been a few drinks had as well.
But it was brilliant. Just to give people an insight, Jim, see when you're dropping your kids, I had two young kids at the time, Stephen, and you're dropping them off at nursery and you're getting the kindergarten, you think, right, okay, I'll go in and get the breakfast. About 8:30, and he would walk in and he would scud you with his newspaper, he would grab your newspaper and you're sitting there just trying to relax before you're going to training. Next minute you're getting scalped with a bit of toast and it was just non-stop. And I mean, this guy was consistent every other day. You know, you're just going, "Come on, give us a break, mate." But he took that energy, then he went and ran, and it was just as if he was constantly like kind of so much, he just trying to get released all the time. And
he's as if he did a full bag of jelly babies before he came in.
But you know, the thing is, we sometimes when the quality isn't quite there in Scottish football, we love the madness and we love the mayhem. And see, to that extent, Fernando Eriksen was made for Scottish football, for a Dutchman, because just what I mean, to go back to Bert Conrad, I don't think he was red carded, was he? Was substituted?
I don't think
he
got hooked.
Yeah, he described it as the biggest humiliation of his career in his book, his autobiography. And most players would never recover from that. Being substituted in a Glasgow derby after 24 minutes, 23 minutes it was. And he came back and he showed amazing adversity.
Yeah.
And he provided as many front pages as he did back pages. And he was just made for Scottish football because that's what we loved about him. We loved his imperfections.
Rangers fans, any more memories of Fernando Eriksen? Like I say, maybe a memorable goal, maybe a memorable moment within a match. Maybe you've been fortunate enough to meet the man. We'd love to hear your stories. 01419511025, and we'll hear from you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Stephen McGowan, Jim Duffy and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Plenty of your calls coming in, so let's hear from you, your memories, your tributes to Fernando Eriksen. I've not read many from Twitter so far. Let me give you a flavour of what's coming in. Johnny Griffin says, "Beautiful words and stories from Alex tearing up while in the kitchen doing the dishes. He was one of my Rangers heroes growing up. Knew exactly what it meant to play for a club like Rangers. Looking forward to paying tribute on Thursday at a packed Ibrox." John Strzelecki's got a signed picture from the benefit match, remember, at Ibrox a couple of years ago. He's got that up, pride of place. And Sean says, "I'm a Rangers fan, but I'll admit I got goosebumps there listening to Neil Lennon paying tribute to Fernando Eriksen. Football rivalry put aside, and credit to Neil Lennon." Let's get some more memories from James, who's also a Rangers fan from Drumchapel. What stands out for you, James? How will you remember Fernando Eriksen?
Just being an absolute leader. And everything that I look for in a Rangers player. I just thought the guy was just, especially when he moved into the centre midfield for us, he absolutely dragged us through that season. Sad day, honestly. Just, I've got that memory, obviously, that many memories, obviously, you know, for the fireworks, the brimstone trampolines and stuff like that. Guy was just, for me, just everything that you want in a Rangers player. He cared so much about the club and he left everything out in the park for us. And it was just, obviously, myself and my daughter were just over at Ibrox here. And the amount of tributes that are over there just now is just, it's absolutely phenomenal. And it was nice to go over and just pay a wee bit of respect to the man. But for me, he's everything I think that Rangers have been missing and the team now. He was just, honestly, guys, a legend. He wasn't, I mean, and I think that word gets used too much now, but for Fernando, he loved playing for Rangers and he just loved being a Ranger. And it's just, honestly, just a very, very sad day.
And what was it like watching that journey, James? Because we spoke about the early adversity, perhaps doubts over whether he would cut it, and then you've spoken about him becoming a fan's favourite and a legend and the captain and all the rest of it. What was it like watching that progression?
It was when you get, obviously when you get subbed at half time in his Old Firm game, I thought, oh no, what have we signed here? But it shows you the character of the man and how he bounced back for that and how he did it. I just thought, obviously after that, he just went on to great things at Rangers, and it's just, I just obviously, I've watched him there, obviously in his progression, to see his first game right up until he obviously dragged us through that year with Alec Norat and the team. Just, it was phenomenal, guys, and like I say, I always remember where I was that day when Fernando lifted that. I was in the horseshoe bar. 1 minute I was greeting because I thought we'd lost the league, and then within 2 minutes I must have been swinging for the light bulbs. But phenomenal player, phenomenal man as well, and just absolutely, you know, get so much respect for the man.
Well said, James. Alex, how did he take that fighting spirit from the pitch into his battle with his illness?
I think James hits the nail very well there in terms of character. Gordon, I was just telling you during the break, whilst working in Belgium with Alec McLeish, we were going to a summer, it was a winter break, but it was over in Turkey. We got some sunshine, and as I was walking through Dusseldorf Airport, I was just going through passport control, I just thought I seen someone familiar, but it was the way he was moving. He wasn't moving particularly well, and it was Fernando, and in the middle of nowhere effectively, and he was flying to Russia. So we had Buffo, Alec McLeish, and we were kind of reminiscing, but word get round the airport, believe it or not, that Fernando was in the building. And out of nowhere, Ruud van Nistelrooy bowls in, and you're thinking, oh, go on, big Ruud, right? So he's going, Fernando, I haven't seen you for years, right? And I'm thinking, oh, aye. So he says, the last time I see you, you kicked my hotel door in, right? he got the wrong room whilst representing Holland, and he's trying to burst into van Nistelrooy's room. But
I think that's how the international career ended, wasn't it? Kicking the doors. I think so.
Well, he's probably upset. Probably scored.
Ruud van Nistelrooy's sleep was disturbed.
Yeah, but when Ruud van Nistelrooy, there was another few Dutch guys at PSV as well who would come over and were sharing a moment with him. But they were all talking fondly. You know, we're talking about moments. You get James there talking about the trampoline and fireworks, and Ruud van Nistelrooy's talking about the hotel door getting kicked in, and then me and Buffo and Big Alec were kind of, it's great to see. But character, he was going to Russia to get medication that was giving them a quality of life. He was having to pay
more time.
Absolutely, he was having to pay a fortune for it as well. Now, and if you take that and step back and go, in his condition, because he wasn't moving particularly well at that time, you know, his body was kind of...
And he was on his own, Alec.
He was on his own. And this is what I'm saying. So he was going to Russia, which is not the easiest place at the best of times, travelling. He had to get there. He had to get the medication. And then he had to come back, because I think he was kind of based around about Spain area as well. So when you take all that into consideration, talk about character to fight this. And I think Stephen touched on it earlier on in terms of the publicity on the back of Fernando setting up his foundation and the awareness, you know, and it may well kind of trigger people to try and get a cure for this or some sort of thing to try and escalate it.
Well, that's the thing, there are people, and you could quite understand it, who wouldn't want to go through the suffering or who would take refuge behind closed doors.
Yeah.
They wouldn't want to put themselves out there, and you can understand that, because you've been an athlete at the top of your game, you're a proud man. You've got your own feelings in the matter, but Fernando Eriksen always put himself out, and you said it yourself. It's really difficult for people to look at, you know. And it was, because if you really care for somebody, it's hard. It's like seeing your elderly parents fading away. It's really difficult to watch, and it was difficult to watch him. But it had to be done, just for the reasons you outlined here, because he was fighting a cause. And he did it for 6 years.
Thank you very much to James in Drumchapel. Another nice tribute. Let's speak to John in the East End. Hi, John.
Hi guys, how you doing?
Hi, John.
Hi, Alec, Jim, Stephen and Gordon. I'm a Celtic fan. I've been a Celtic fan all my life. I've had to put up with some division in my life. I actually went to school with Alex, albeit I was a year younger. And my partner's Rangers fans and stuff like that, but you always get certain people in your life, certain football players. For me, Tommy Burns was my idol. I was devastated when he passed away. But Fernando Rixon had kind of that for me, even though he was a Rangers legend. And I was sitting in work the day, this morning, and it came up on my screen that he had passed away. And I actually found myself, felt that I needed to do something with it. So I got in the car, I drove to Brayhead, I went into the Celtic shop, I bought a scarf, I went to Ibrox and I tied it to the gates. And I found Rangers fans coming up to me and shaking my hand and stuff, but again, it shouldn't take that to bring fans together. And unfortunately it does. But I just thought I wanted to do my bit because he was what he was, whether it was Rangers or Celtic or whoever. That was just that.
Yeah, John, I think that was well said, and I appreciate you coming on and sharing that. Alex, that kind of sums up the way a lot of people are feeling. I know you won't mind me sharing. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn. When I called you this morning, you were distraught, and that's the impact that these types of days can have on you.
Well, without doubt, I've struggled today. There's been several times throughout the day that I've just burst out in tears. I've no rhyme or reason, Gordon, because I've played with so many players. And there's times I've had to pull the car over because you just get a moment. And as I said, I spoke to Andrew McLean earlier on as well, after a few minutes at breaking, and I was in bits. I was trying to explain to my missus, I can't for the life of me. And I think, see, when you identify, footballers you all identify with, but see with Fernando, as I said, he was wild and he liked
your drink. Friend as well.
No,
that's
the thing is, and then all these thoughts go through your mind, Jim. The playing side of things, the mad side, the off the field scenarios, the fights when I've shared the moment, and I think when what Stephen said there, I know about how you deal with people who are through a particular illness, Jim, because from my experience here, I stepped back for Fernando. I found it really difficult. I spoke to other players. I thought, I can't see him in this way, and it was only by taking, if it wasn't for Conor Cochrane, I might not have seen him again. Yeah. And he said to me, he says, listen, we'd love to see you, and I was sharing the moment with you guys in terms of when we were in there. I was talking the way I would talk to him as if he was in the dressing room, even though he was in this state. And Conor said to me, he says, that was so refreshing because people tiptoe around about these illnesses, and I was effing and blinding and remembering moments where we'd shared the playing day. So it has been a difficult day, and I think even when you listen to John speaking there, who's a rival fan, it does bring everyone together just due to the fact, you know. And I agree with you, Jim. You're talking about, is it like a Gaza or a Frank McAvaney? Yeah, yeah. He was very much in that bracket, a lovable rogue, even though you did match day, bro. I hated
him. A player that the his teammates loved in about them, as you say. Sometimes you might think, oh, just give a wee break, because he's constantly on, he's non-stop. But these are players that really don't exist now, Gordon. I mean, Alec will tell you, they don't exist in the dressing room. They're maybe not allowed to because of social media and that thing, but if they're not completely gone, there are very, very few big characters left in dressing rooms, you know, that can do it on the pitch and also be as likeable, if you want to call it, off the pitch, and be one of the guys. And just when Alec was talking about, I met, you know, McCann, and he'd said a little while ago that when he met Fernando a couple of years ago, he actually was annoyed with himself because he was speaking to him kind of slowly and trying to and then Neil was saying, I should have been speaking to him normally because his brain was sharp as a tack. But he was getting annoyed because he was speaking to Fernando similar the way Fernando was speaking to him, and he was wrong, and he was kicking himself. But again, he just knew that feeling and emotion was with Neil, and as was Alec.
John, thank you very much for the call. I think we all felt that. We all felt what you went through this morning. Thanks for sharing your memories and your experiences, Alex. Just before we let you go, you've come in off your own back to share your stories tonight. Just finally, how will you remember him?
Oh, listen, I'm actually pleased that I get the opportunity to come in, Gordon, because I've been struggling all day, and I think the fact I've actually shared a few enjoyable tales, some of the tough times as well. He's just a very good teammate, a leader, And he'll be sadly missed.
Thank you very much, Alex Ray, Stephen McGowan and Jim Duffy. You're not going anywhere. You're stuck here till 8 o'clock. We're still going to play Beat the Pundit as always. So if you want to play tonight, now is your chance to phone 0141 951 1025. Your chance to win a signed ball on Beat the Pundit. Get your calls in. You only have until the news at 7, so be quick.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Stephen McGowan and Jim Duffy are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We have been paying tribute to Fernando Rixon. A very sad day for Scottish football as he sadly lost his battle with motor neuron disease. Alex Ray had joined us earlier on to share some of his memories. He's now gone and you're stuck with Jim and Stephen, but you're in good company. We've got two massive games to look forward to as well in Europe. We're going to be crossing over live to speak to a reporter, Alison Conroy, who is in France, looking ahead to Rennes against Celtic, Rangers against Feyenoord tomorrow as well. So if you've got any thoughts on the football, get them in right now. 0141 951 1025. It'll be a huge couple of days, Stephen.
You know, I think Rennes had a potentially group winners there, because I think they've had a really decent start to the season in France. I think it's because they're not a glamorous name, people might take them for granted a little bit. Reached the last 16 last season, lost half a team that won the French Cup, but have won the first three league games. They beat PSG. Going to be a really tough proposition.
Okay, well, if you've got any thoughts on the football tomorrow, your predictions, your team lineup suggestions, anything else, get them in. We'll hear from Neil Lennon, Stephen Gerrard as this hour progresses. Let's do this first though.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, it's Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to win a signed ball, or specifically it's Mark's chance to win a signed ball. He's calling from Linwood tonight. How are you, Mark?
I'm all right. How are you?
Yes, not too bad at all. I'm going to toss the coin. If it's heads, you're up against Stephen McGowan. And if it's tails, you are up against Jim Duffy. So let's see how we get on. My trusty 5p. And it's tails. It's Jim Duffy against Mark. Stephen McGowan breathes a sigh of relief.
Every time I do this, I'm humiliated. I've never been happier with a coin toss in my life. Thank you.
You're off the hook tonight. It's Jim Duffy. So I'm going to give Jim some Clyde 2 to listen to. That way he can't hear you, Mark. So he can't be caught. He can't be accused of cheating. You've got 30 seconds head to head with Jim. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
Yep.
Which Dutch striker did Rangers sign from Utrecht in 1999?
I pass.
Where did Gary Caldwell start his playing career?
Celtic.
How many points are Celtic on in the league?
15.
Which Northern Irish team are Rangers Colts facing in the Challenge Cup tonight?
Ballymena United.
The famous five stand can be found at which Scottish stadium?
Pass.
Colin McMenamin's been sacked after 10 months in charge of which Scottish League 2 side? Just guess us. That's fine, that'll do us. You can always guess the last one, can't you? Jim Duffy, you're here. Yes, you got us.
Yep.
Great, same set of questions to you. Your time starts now. Which Dutch striker did Rangers sign from Utrecht in 1999?
Michael Moles.
Where did Gary Caldwell start his playing career?
Hibs.
How many points are Celtic on in the league?
15.
Which Northern Irish team are Rangers Colts facing in the Challenge Cup tonight?
Ballymena.
The famous five stand can be found at which Scottish
Hibs.
Stadium? Colin McMenamin has been sacked after 10 months in charge of which League 2 side? Stefan Johansson went where after leaving Celtic?
Fulham.
Okay. Mark, what do you think of the competition?
Absolute dude.
You've had a doon?
I have.
I think Jim's 100%.
Let's go through them and find out. I'm going to be an absolute pain in the backside with some of them and just make sure he's not. Okay, first one. Which Dutch striker did Rangers sign from Utrecht in 1999? It is Michael Moles. You got it. Well done. 1-0 to Jim. Where did Gary Caldwell start his playing career? You said Hibs.
Yeah,
I suppose you are right. I mean, he was at Newcastle, but I don't think he played a game. So I feel like I have to give you 2-0. How many points are Celtic on in the league? 15. You did know that, Mark. So it wasn't a complete disaster. You can, if you walk away with a zero, that's disastrous territory. But you've got one on the board. Jim's got 3 at the moment. You also knew that Ballymena United is who Rangers Colts are taking on. Unfortunately for you, so did Jim. The famous five stand can be found at which stadium? I mean, If you hadn't got this one, we'd have been having serious questions, Jim Duffy. It was Easter Road, Hibs. Colin McMenamin sacked after 10 months in charge of Stenhouse Muir. Stefan Johansson went to Fulham after leaving Celtic. So I think I make that. I think Jim Duffy got them all. Is this a first?
It's a first, aye.
Do you know what, Mark?
Roger Hanna, look out.
Mark, I thought you did all right. You got a couple on the board. I think it was two, was it, in the end?
I'm waiting to get beat.
Exactly.
I'm waiting to get beat anyway.
Well done, Mark. Hardlines.
Unlucky, Mark.
Any worries, guys?
I could have won that.
No, because that's what they all say when the pressure's not on.
Come on.
I'm not buying that.
That's it. Come on, there'll be all day that in quiz shows and all that. You know what? Oh, I knew that after it. The heat of the battle there. You've got to be able to handle
it. It's the pressure. It's the 100% record for Jim Duffy. You can sleep happy tonight. Okay, 01419511025. Let's hear from you. If you've got more memories and tributes to Fernando Rixon, keep them coming in. If you would like to turn your attentions to tomorrow's football, let's do that, because we've got two huge, huge Europa League games. Celtic are away in France, Rangers at home to Feyenoord. So let's go on our travels, shall we, and find out what's been happening.
The Old Firm in Europe on Clyde One with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long.
Yes, Celtic are in Rennes. Alison Conroy has made the trip. How are you tonight, Alison?
I'm very well, thank you, Gordon. A long day, but I'm not going to complain too much about
it. Don't you dare complain. You're in France. You're in the crepe capital of the world, by all accounts.
Crepe capital. I might have won from a dinner, Lynn.
What's been happening over there today? Celtic have obviously flown over. Neil Lennon has conducted his press conference as well.
Yeah, they flew over this afternoon after training at Celtic Park earlier. Lee Griffiths is one player who hasn't travelled. He's picked up a thigh strain, so misses this match. Neil Lennon says that he should be OK for the weekend. Michael Johnson, we knew, was already out. Neil Lennon has confirmed that Chris Julian is fine to play tomorrow night after that head clash at the weekend. He wasn't knocked out, so there's no risk there to him. Celtic obviously have started the domestic season in absolutely fabulous form, and Neil Lennon is hoping that they can take that into their European campaign.
We know that Rennes have made a superb start to their own domestic season, and we know how difficult the tie will be, but we're, you know, in good form. We're looking forward to it. It's obviously very exciting for not only the new players but the senior players. Just having a look at the pitch, it looks in perfect condition, so you know all the ingredients are there for a very good footballing game. You know, keeping clean sheets in the last few games, and we won away from home. We had an outstanding performance in our last European game in Sweden, so we are bubbling away nicely. But this is a real stiff examination. Men are very slick side.
Away trips in Europe are always exciting for the fans. Alison, what can the Celtic fans who are travelling over expect?
Well, remember Celtic came here in 2011 and they drew 1-1. We all remember that Chaudhry goal. So Neil Lennon's hoping that they can go one better tomorrow night. The Celtic fans are already arriving here in Rennes. There was a few of them on our flight this morning. It's a lovely stadium, a lovely area. The pitch looks absolutely perfect. The Rennes manager, Julian Stéphane, he did his press conference this afternoon. He thinks that they're going to face a very tricky Celtic side. He thinks that Celtic will be able to qualify from this group, and Neil Lennon, of course, hopes that he's correct with that.
We're very excited about being in the competition. We're very excited about the quality of teams that we're going to play in the group. There's a lot of glamour in the group for us. I think we've, you know, earned the right to be in the group by playing some, you know, really good football so far. But, you know, nothing's guaranteed. We're very well motivated for the game, but we, like I said earlier, we know how difficult a test this is going to be. We're always looking to improve our away record in Europe. This is the next test for us, and you know, one that, you know, we're wary of, but one that we're looking forward as well to.
The opposition manager telling you that your favourites to go through in the group. Is that about the old mind games, Jim Duffy?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, I think that you try and deflect as much as you can away from your own team, particularly if you're at home, because you know you don't want your fans. Scottish football doesn't have a great reputation, even a club like Celtic. You know, the part of that kind of Scottish stereotype that people seem to think play kick and rush football all the time. So if Rennes were to get beaten by Celtic, you know, the French fans would be thinking, oh, you know, that this shouldn't happen. So try and deflect it a little bit. But, you know, Celtic are going there in terrific form. And, you know, the last two games have had clean sheets, which I think is very important, because they were losing a couple of silly goals. But 2-0 at Ibrox, 1-0 against Hamilton, I think that's going to give them confidence.
Alison, any indication about perhaps the way Neil Lennon may set up? The guys were speculating on last night's show. Do you sacrifice an El Yunusi and put in an Olivier and Cham? Was Neil Lennon asked about that? You know, the approach or the possibility that he would be delighted to come back with a draw?
Yeah, of course Neil Lennon was asked about his team, but as you would expect, he wasn't giving too much away. He did say, yes, of course, he is tempted to put an Olivier and Cham in there because he thinks he's a very good player, but he does have Callum McGregor, he does have Ilya Nusu as well, who, of course, made his debut on Saturday. In one sense, yes, he would be delighted to come away here with a draw, but he is going all out and believes that they can kickstart this European campaign with a win tomorrow night.
OK, safe day tomorrow, enjoy the game, and Alison will bring us all the post-match reaction on tomorrow, well, on Friday night show really, by the time the game finishes. Stephen, were you in Rennes that famous night with the Chadu Rion goal?
Alison mentioned it was Keystone Cop stuff. Remember, Fraser Foster came out to meet him, didn't he? And then he just kind of knocked it past him. I think Joe Ledley scored Celtic's goal. It's night and day since then, completely different teams. I think this is Celtic's hardest game of the season. Away from home, a really good team with a good pedigree. As I said earlier, they've beaten PSG in the first few league games. Since then, they've lost at home to Nice. I think they drew with Brest at the weekend. But I think they're a real top quality team, and I think this will be the biggest, sternest test of Celtic's defence. Although, as Jim pointed out, they'll not be losing as many goals. In contrast to Cluj at home, Ballingolli looks more comfortable now, and Christopher Julian looks as if a player who might just justify his £7 million price tag.
Gary's a Celtic fan in Shettleston. From the fans' perspective, Gary, with a day to go, are you at that sort of heightened sense of optimism where you think you can batter Rennes, or are you fearing the worst?
I'm not really sure. I'm a wee bit fearing the worst. Aye, they're a good team.
What is that noise, Gary? You're deafening us here.
PlayStation.
I hope we're not interrupting you. What are you playing?
Grand Theft Auto.
There we go.
Gary, 46, I'm playing Grand Theft Auto.
Gary, pause Grand Theft Auto for 2 minutes. Talk to us about the game tomorrow.
Aye. Well, I hope Celtic just keep it tight. And I hope they play the champ that just to keep it tight.
Yeah, I know it's a bit of a kind of cliche, Gary, but I'll use it anyway. Away from home in Europe against a decent side, would you take a draw?
Oh, aye, 100%. Take a draw, aye. Definitely.
What might that look like in terms of team selection? That's the one suggestion we keep hearing, is maybe put an Olivier and Cham in, you know, get an extra midfielder in there. You got any thoughts on that type of thing?
I would need an extra midfielder. We need to play probably five in midfield, four at back.
Jim Duffy, let me ask you that. In terms of how Celtic approach this, would you expect anything drastically different?
Well, not drastically different, but I think they'll put an extra midfield player in. I think that the Cluj game, the two games against Cluj, home and away, I think would suggest that they can't be as open, and you know, they would need that extra midfield player. So I think that will happen. Whether it goes slightly different shape in a kind of 4-1-4-1, and because he still likes a width, or whether it goes with just an extra midfield player, you know, just to give them that little bit of security. But I do believe the likes of it will be Cham, Brown and McGregor. I think they'll all find a place in there. I know he likes sometimes Cham just playing ahead, just supporting Edouard. But, you know, and that can happen, because obviously then, fine, Cham just drops back in. But I definitely think there'll be an extra player.
Christie could go out left, couldn't he? Christie could go left and Cham could play the number 10.
Yeah, left or right. I mean, Christie's played in the right and he's came in, and that leaves space, or in Forrest playing the left and vice versa. But I think that'll happen.
But what I think's interesting is that before AIK Stockholm, we said to Neil Lennon, will you be a pragmatist? Will you be different from Brendan Rodgers? And he said, well, the thing is, I don't really have the players to go and play for a draw. Just don't have the mentality, don't maybe have the personnel. And Celtic just went and played like themselves and they won 4-1. So I just wonder whether, maybe a tweak, as Jim says, I think Cham will come in, but I don't know if they're going to be the kind of team who are just going to go out and try and play for a 0-0 or a 1-1. I just don't think they've got it in them.
I don't think they can play counter-attack. And I think that's something that that Celtic can do very well. They can play counter attack with players, so a little bit more conservative.
Gary, you're thinking about the game tomorrow. You're also playing Grand Theft Auto. You're a great multitasker because you want to pay tribute to Fernando Rixon as well.
Honestly, multitask. I'm doing my garden all night as well. Working all day, doing my garden, according to you as
you're
well.
You're some man.
I'm a multitasker. So, especially Alec. What's that day today, mate? So, I see you.
Yeah, I mean,
what? How you go?
No, I was just going to say, Gary, Alex is gone now, but he was obviously sharing the stories which you're reacting to. As a rival fan, one of those players that you just get show your respect to in days like this.
He's a brilliant player. Been to East Coast at Ibrox or Parkhead. He just didn't want him in the game. He was just one of the characters that would just kind of hold a game like a Neil Lennon player, Scott Brown player. So he was just a fantastic player. So he was.
Yeah, I think everyone recognises those types of leaders, don't they? In the fixture, and we're getting lots through on Twitter. Really, some great memories. Robert Chalmers is on. He says, "I had the pleasure of looking after Fernando in the airport from the start of his illness to his end." So Robert's attached a picture. Looks like he would help him get on and off the plane. He says, "Thanks for the one-to-one memories. I'll miss you. I'll miss singing the Rangers songs with you in the truck. Rest easy, Captain." So there we go. Robert's got his own nice personal memories that he's been able to share tonight on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Thank you to Gary and Shettleson on the phone. We've got a full time teaser coming up, and we're going to hear from Steven Gerrard on the Rangers game tomorrow, playing against Feyenoord. So in a football sense, Rangers fans, what are you expecting?
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Stephen McGowan and Jim Duffy are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We have been sharing some great stories, some great memories of Fernando Rixon on the saddest of days. We're also looking ahead to tomorrow, though, because we've got some massive football ahead. Rangers have got a job to do on the field against Feyenoord, and Celtic, as we just heard from Alison Conroy out there in Wren, are hoping to kick off their Europa League campaign in a positive fashion in France. We do have a full-time teaser. It's topical tonight. And the question is this. In tribute to Fernando Rixon, can you name the starting 11 for his Rangers debut? Oh. It was against Kaunas in July 2000.
Okay. Can we get Alec Ray a shout back now?
He's hopeless at these teasers, don't you worry. So in tribute to Fernando Rixon, can you name the starting 11 for his Rangers debut? Which is difficult, so put a timestamp on it. July 2000, just after he was signed.
Stephen Clauss, goalie?
Yes.
Fernando Rixon?
Yes.
So we'll get two.
Contman?
No.
Stephen Hughes? Stephen Hughes?
No to both.
Rod Wallace?
Yes. So there we go. You two were. I don't think I didn't hear you huffing and puffing when I read out the question as if it was going to be difficult. And you've already got three of the 11.
Peter Lovenkrantz?
No. Okay, we'll leave it there. We'll see how you get on. If you want to play along with us on Twitter at Clyde SSB, take a trip down memory lane. Let's see how you get on. We're looking for the starting 11 from Fernando Rixon's debut. It was a qualifier against Kaunas in July 2000. The guys have got Clauss, Rixon, and Rod Wallace. So far, we've got Tom on the line, who is a Rangers fan. Rangers fans, how are you feeling in a footballing sense? It's bound to be an emotional occasion against Feyenoord. What about the football? Can you kick off the Europa League campaign with 3 points? Who do you think should start? Who shouldn't start? Let's hear from you. 01419511025.
You know, when the group was made, obviously it had a Champions League feel to it because of the level of opponents we're going to be facing. But you've always got to look to your home games. You know, if we've got any ambitions or dreams to try and get out of this group, and that's got to be the target, because we're not here to make the numbers up. So we want to do everything we can to try and get out of the group. If we're to do that, we have to try and take maximum points at home. That'll be tough because Feyenoord are a good team. I know Jaap Stam quite well from his Reading days. I know how he tries to be very organised and play an attacking brand of football. So we'll have to be at it tomorrow night if we've got any ambition to take maximum points. Yeah, I think we gave it a fantastic effort last year. Unfortunately, we fell short in the last game. There was times towards the end of the group where we had to pick teams that were maybe under strength. Maybe the squad wasn't strong enough to cope both domestically and in Europe to get out of the group. I've got more confidence and belief in this group of players because I feel we've added quality to it. We've got a bit more strength in depth. Having said that, I do feel this group's probably a bit more difficult than last year. So the challenge is tougher. but it's certainly one we want to take on. We don't fear anyone in the group. We're the underdogs, and we'll go out and give it our best shot. But I believe we've got a squad capable of competing and giving it a good shot to get out.
Tom is a Rangers fan from Cumbernauld. How are you feeling ahead of that game tomorrow, Tom?
First of all, good evening, Jim. Good evening, Stephen. Good evening, Gordon.
Hello.
Hi, Tom.
First of all, my condolences go out to Fernando Rixon's wife and his daughter and all his family. It's a very sad day for Rangers Football Club.
Yeah, well said, Tom.
He was a very strong player. To begin with, when I've seen him play against Celtic, I said he's not going to do. And obviously, he knuckled down. And the past few years, he's knuckled down with his illness. He's been a fighter, and he was a fighter in the park. But I'd like to see I don't know if Rangers can maybe their first league game against maybe St Johnstone at the weekend. They can get his number and see if he can get his number and all the player shots. I don't know if that's possible to a wee landmark for him. But that's just my thoughts about Fernando Rixon. He'll never be forgotten.
Yeah, Stephen, I'm sure there will be a gesture of some kind. I can't actually remember if the club have confirmed anything yet.
Sure.
But
not sure they have.
Generally, clubs tend to get these things right.
I don't think there will be any lack of appropriate fitting tribute to Fernando Rixon. Quite the opposite.
Tom, what about the game tomorrow then? So, you know, an emotional occasion because of what's happened today, but ultimately for Stephen Gerrard and his team, a job to be done. How do you see it going?
I hope they can get off to a winning start, because I think they really need to win their home game to have any chance of progression. It's going to be a hard group, because they're all got Champions League pedigree, but it's what kind of formation they start with. Who does Jim and Stephen and yourself, Gordon, think they'll bring in their minus Ryan Kent? And do they think they'll change the defence? Do you think they'll bring in Heelander? Do you think there'll be many changes?
Well, I think they'll play, Tom, I think they'll play 4-3-3. I think Ojo might come into the starting line. I know he did play, but with Kent obviously being injured, then Barker came in and done well, scored a good goal. So again, he's put himself in there. I just think Rangers will play 4-3-3. Now, whether they play with Arfield, I think Morelos will definitely start. I think we've had this discussion before. Obviously, Defoe's been in terrific form as well, but I think Morelos again scoring at the weekend, I think you just can't leave him out at the moment. So I think they'll still play 4-3-3. Again, you know, when Flanagan's fit in these type of matches, he generally goes in front of Barisic. Katic and Golson look as if they're the partnership now. The rest of the guys have got to fight for it, but Tavernier is a right back, and Stephen Davis, I think, will be in there. Obviously, Ryan Jack's injured, so he's not going to be there. So for me, it'll be maybe Aribo and Ojo in the middle of the pitch with, as I said, a 4-3-3 formation. So, but they've got an embarrassment now at Richie's Rangers, although they've got Kent missing and Jones missing. They've still got enough in there and enough quality to go and win the match, even against a good Dutch side.
Stephen, there is a school of thought out there which suggests that Rangers perhaps won't mind if Feyenoord come out and try and attack them, because in many ways, if there is something that Rangers struggle with, it's breaking teams down, yeah, who sit back. So actually, the European qualifiers and some of the European performances last season, I tell you that they don't mind that if Feyenoord are going to come and attack.
They're a good in the counter-attack, Rangers. I mean, there's also a school of thought Feyenoord are not quite the team they forced they were. You know, 2002, you think back to Van Hooijdonk, Bosveldt, think back to the players they had then. They went on to win the competition. Rangers drew 1-1 with them 2002. I was up seeing Barry Ferguson last night up in Kelty. And neither side is quite at the level they were at then. But I still think Feyenoord are going to be a substantial threat. You know what I mean? They've won the last four games, bit of a shaky start to the season. But they went to Hapoel Beersheva in Israel. We remember the problem Celtic had there. They won 3-0 away from home. They beat them 3-0 at home, 6-0 aggregate against Israeli opponents. That's no mean feat. So this is, there's no real superstars in our team either. Yeah. There's nobody who really jumps out. But I think it's going to be a real tough game for Rangers. And, you know, I don't think Feyenoord will go there and sit in and try and defend, which, as you say, might help Rangers.
Tom, what would you be Who are you pinning your hopes on? I mean, Alfredo Morelos, he's constantly under scrutiny in this part of the world. People always desperate to point out that he doesn't score against Celtic, but he has scored a lot of goals in Europe for Rangers, so I guess he would be the man carrying the hopes tomorrow.
Definitely, but I think Arfield is going to be very important. I'm very impressed with Arfield. I think he's performing really well, but just before I go, can I just say, ask Jim, what does he think of Ojo? Because I think he's maybe going to take a wee bit of time to settle in. He's not particularly impressive. He's had a couple of good games, but I think it might take a wee bit more time to settle in.
Yeah, I agree with you, Tom. No, I agree with you. I think when a young player comes into Rangers, you know, he's got to establish himself, he's got to fight for his place. He came in at first and I think he was probably a little bit more relaxed, but you know, then, you know, he finds competition for places and he finds the demands, you know, a different proposition. And I think you can see he's got ability, but he has to grab the game by the scruff of the neck a little bit more, take a little bit more control and responsibility. And that takes experience, because I think there's no doubt he's got the quality, but he needs a few more games under his belt. If he does get the nod tomorrow night, these are the type of games at Ibrox against a technical side, so he's not going to get, you know, maybe people kicking him off the pitch. You know, he's going to get the opportunity to show his quality. So, yeah, he does need time. He's a young player. But I think, you know, potentially, I think he could be a very important player over the course of the season.
Tom, you asked the question at the start about Philippe Helander perhaps coming in. Is that because you think that's a good idea? Is that what's behind your question?
I think, that's part of my question, because I think they need to keep it really tight at the back. And sometimes Golson can be a bit lackadaisical at times. He can be caught in the ball when he's not concentrating. But thanks for all your input, guys.
No, thanks very much for the call, Tom. Thank you very much. But you're not alone, Tom, because we've got a tweet. Wolfman's got Nards, is on Twitter. He says, Katic and Helander at the back for me. Goldson's a liability. This kind of reminds me of this exact time last year, Stephen. I mean, literally, it was the first Europa League game. That's when Steven Gerrard started toying with the partnership, the Katic and Goldson, and it was when Joe Worrall came in. And a lot of Rangers fans didn't like the chopping and changing, but
I agreed with him, Gordon. I remember thinking and saying it last season that there was a different central defence every game, almost. It felt that way. And the interesting thing with Helander, though, before you bring him in, is there's a £3.5 million price tag in his head. So there's an expectation he will play. And if he doesn't play, people will ask questions about the recruitment. They'll ask questions about the strategy and the scouting. So there's a pressure on him to play, but you go back to that thing again, chopping and changing the central defenders. I mean, Steven Gerrard said today, he said, you know, we're a year older than we were this time last year. Remember at the beginning last year, they were a bit nervous, I think, in the first group game for an hour, and then they kind of cut loose. Was it Villarreal? Valencia, was it?
Villarreal.
And, you know, they were a bit tentative. He said, we're a year further on, we've got more experience now, we've got players who play at a higher quality, we've got more depth. But the proof will be in the pudding tomorrow night.
Are we now in a stage, Jim? A lot of people phone this show or tweet this show and tell us that they now think Goldson is the weaker of those two, when it was perceived to be Katic last season.
To be honest with you, I really don't know. I don't think he makes enough. I'm okay, the bad ball away against Celtic, and sometimes though, any kind of mistake against your biggest rivals, kind of, you know, everything gets a little bit exaggerated. But you know, I slightly disagree with Stephen, because I just think when you're at a big club, it's all about competition. And if you give the guys the jersey, it doesn't matter if you've got a £3 million or a £5 million player, they have to fight hard to get in the team. And that ultimately will be Steven Gerrard's decision who gets in. But it's also the kind of gauntlet he throws down to Katic and Golden. He'll say, listen, yous have got the jersey. Play well, you can keep the jersey. It doesn't matter, competition. And I don't think anyone will look at the system and what we brought in. But if you don't, there's a player there. Yeah, you're right then, £3 million. They know that. So they have to get their performance. They'll only get one, possibly two mistakes. I think any more than that, then they will be out. And then they might not get back in. And I include Golson in that now. But at the moment, I still think Golson and Katic seem to be the more settled partnership.
But it will be interesting as well, Jim, because you'll get Thursday, Sunday.
Sunday, yeah. I think it'll change on Sunday. I do, Stephen, because, you know, obviously, that again, I think that's the case for both teams. I think when you play on Thursday, that's the reason why they've both strengthened their squad significantly, so that they can change without weakening.
Right, if you want to hear your question read out on the show, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. That's where we take the questions in and we try and get them on the show. Tonight's is in tribute to Fernando Rixon. Can you name the starting 11 for his Rangers debut against Kaunas in July 2000? You've got, obviously, Fernando Rixon, you've got Stefan Kloss, and you've got Rod Wallace.
Craig Moore?
Yes.
Barry Ferguson?
Yep.
Neil McCann?
No.
Tony Vidmar?
Yep.
Tugay?
No.
Van Bronckhorst?
No.
Claudio Reyna?
Yep.
Where are we at now?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You've got 7. Only 4 remaining, so we'll leave it there.
Thomas Buffel?
No, we'll leave it there. Okay. Laurie's in Denison. Hi, Laurie.
Panel, good evening.
Hello.
Hi, Gordon, can I speak to my fellow Denistonian Alec?
Oh, he's gone, Laurie, I'm afraid. He only joined us for the first hour, but don't worry, he'll be listening in the drive home.
Okay. Well, what I would like to say is, obviously, an extremely sad day for all of Scottish football, and in particular Fernando Rixon's family, a young man at 43 years of age, who lost his life to a cruel and pernicious disease, motor neuron disease, a condition that claimed the life of my own favourite all-time player, Jimmy Johnson. It's just so sad, tragic beyond words. The best compliment, Gordon, I can pay Fernando Rixon is to say that as a Celtic fan, you know, for many, many years, I used to listen with bated breath when the lineups were announced, whether it was getting way back, listening to games on the radio or in attendance, or I watched them on the television. And there were some names that when they were posted, you would rather that they, from a Celtic perspective, they weren't playing players like Bobby Shearer, Wally Matheson, Ian Ferguson, Terry Butcher, and Alec himself, actually. Guys who were gladiators and who gave everything of themselves on the park, the field of play. And that probably is the greatest compliment that I can pay Fernando, along with the other players that I've mentioned there. So that's my first point.
Yeah, I think a lot of people recognise that feeling, Jim. That's the biggest compliment that you can pay a rival, really, isn't it? Yeah. You're not going to stand and pretend that you loved them forever and you never shouted abuse at them, because that's what we do.
No, the rivals want to be booed. They want to be booed with the opposition fans, and you know, they want it under their skin. But the bottom line is, you know, when people take a step back and look at someone's contribution to that particular club, they appreciate that and they respect it, because that's the kind of contribution everybody wants at their football club. And as I said, Alec came in earlier on and you could hear the emotion in Alec's voice about the type of person, and obviously he knew him as a friend. But as I said, I don't think we should underestimate, as much as all the antics will take sometimes, some of the publicity from Fernando Rixon, it's what he contributed as a Rangers player. And I think, as I said, he was a tough player to play against, who, as I said, gave total commitment.
Laurie, we're a bit short on time, but I know you'll want to give us your thoughts on tomorrow's game as well.
Yeah, Andy, producer, was asking me an answer very briefly. I'm hopeful of a draw. I think it would be a tall order to expect us to go there and win. And I think that the current squad that Neil Lennon has amassed and accumulated in terms of numbers and depth is as good a squad as I can remember from many a year.
Ooh, high praise indeed. Thank you very much, Laurie and Denison. It's 0141 951 1025. Partick Thistle have sacked Gary Caldwell, by the way. On another day we would maybe get round to that news a bit earlier, but it's been a very busy day in Scottish football, as you can imagine. If you've got any late thoughts on that, Thistle fans, get them in. 0141 951 1025. We've got 4 answers to get on the teaser that we'll get next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Jim Duffy and Stephen McGowan are here. They are racking their brains, to put it mildly, to come up with the answers to this teaser tonight. In tribute to Fernando Rixon, can you name the starting 11 from his Rangers debut? It was against Kaunas back in 2000. So you're doing pretty well. You've got Kloss, Rixon, Craig Moore, Tony Vidmar, Barry Ferguson, Claudio Reyna, and Rod Wallace.
Scott Wilson.
Great shout. I thought that was the hardest one.
I was going to say it in a half, so I was thinking about
Scott
that one.
Scott Wilson, well done. There was a tweeter called Gabby Amato. I don't think it's the Gabby Amato, but he's got the two of the three that you're still George looking Alberts. For, I think.
Did we say that? George Alberts.
Well done. He's in there as well, which means you're only two to go.
Nellinger? Christian Nellinger?
Nope.
Nope.
So your midfield is missing someone and your attack is missing someone.
Did we say Neil McCann?
You
we
did. That, don't say McCann. It again.
Okay. One midfielder and one striker to find.
Yeah, I would say it was, yeah, a winger and a striker. All right. We're going to take more calls before the end of the show. Just quickly, big managerial news today, Jim, and that's that club you know well, Partick yep. Thistle, have parted company with Gary Caldwell. Your reaction?
Surprised. You know, I think five games into the season, I think, was it two draws, three defeats? And obviously there was a couple of games they were up on and lost goals, but I'm surprised. I mean, I know that obviously Thistle fans will watch them, you know, much more than I've done. I've seen them probably 7-8 times towards the end of last season, and also was at a couple of games this year. I thought they played some decent football, but obviously the board have decided that it's time for a change. And like any football nowadays, we always say that if you're running about a month now, I think you get as a manager, if it's not going well, if you have a bad month, then you're in a sticky wicket. And I think, unfortunately for Gary, Seems to have just been too much.
And rightly or wrongly, Stephen, that as Jim mentions, it is undeniably early in the season, but he didn't perhaps have a great deal of goodwill in the tank from the previous campaign, and you find that that can often carry over.
Well, they've been a pain in the neck for the bigger clubs, haven't they? Because, you know, those two teams part time supposed to come up and be cannon fodder, and they haven't been. They've been really competitive. You know, the party first of all lucky to get away from her both with a draw, weren't they? A legitimate goal in the last couple of minutes, I think, was chalked off. I think the unknown here is the impact of the takeover. There's obviously a proposed takeover where the owners of Barnsley and New City Capital are looking to try and buy 55% of Partick Thistle. What we don't know is whether they have someone in mind or whether it's part of that bigger picture, because obviously there's an AGM next Thursday night. I think David Beattie met the fans groups the other night, Thistle Forever and the Jags Trust, and promised them a big announcement. Question is, what is the big announcement? Is it a new owner or is it a new manager?
And then already you hear the names, Jim, or you start putting two and two together. Ian McCall's name has been mentioned because of the job that he's done at Air United, having previously been at
he's always linked to that job,
the club.
He's always linked to that job.
Yeah, well, he's done a terrific job, and sometimes it's about timing, but he's also done good jobs at other clubs. And I think, you know, you should really be looking at a body of work, not just who's hot for a couple of months. Obviously, he did well last year, fantastically well last year in the United. But I think he's got a really good CV, Ian, and I think that, you know, you like to have Daniel Lennon, but another one to be mentioned, obviously former captain, done a terrific job at Clyde and again at St Mirren. So, you know, there are good managers out there who, and it's a huge club, and you know, people, you know, some of the other bigger clubs may think, well, what do you mean it's a huge club? But it is a big club, you know, Thistle. It's got a lot of tradition, it's got a lot of history, and it's got a lot of ambition. So whoever gets that job, I think, will, you know, find themselves in a fortunate position.
Fair play to Gerry Brown. He's actually topped Craig Levein, isn't he? He's gone chief executive, caretaker
in the dugout
manager,
of the weekend.
Used to be the academy manager. Yeah.
Incredible stuff. Michelle is in Johnston, the final caller tonight. Michelle, what's on your mind?
Hiya. Obviously tonight is about Fernando Rixon. Sure. I'm not taking that away from him. I'm a Rangers fan, but there is another ex-Rangers player who is also suffering with motor neurons disease, and I think he's just been a wee bit lost with everything that's been happening with Fernando Rixon. So my appeal is basically to the Rangers fans and any other football fans to dig deep in their pockets and to try and help them. It's David Hagan. He did, as you well know, he was diagnosed last year, last July, with it. And he played alongside Alex's brother, Derek, in the reserves. And he also did make the first team. Scored a few goals for us. But I just feel like he is getting lost. He is suffering the same way as Fernando Rixon has done.
Yeah, I think that in similar age as well. Yeah. Jim, listen, equally as tragic. You don't need me to point that out. I played for Falkirk as well, David Hagan. So yeah, of course, our thoughts. It's just today's the day, and it's understandable people are mentioning Fernando Rixon.
I think it's an interesting point, sorry, but I just think football has to do more for players who fall in hard times. I don't know. Jim will know more than me about the welfare system. But you look at dementia, you look at, you know, Alzheimer's or what have you, and not everyone earns thousands of pounds in their career. They don't all have copper-plated pensions. And I think with the amount of money swimming about football, surely there has to be a way to provide some kind of welfare.
Yeah, I mean, David, obviously, Michelle, I knew that David was suffering, you know these things. And I think you have to respect he, I think himself, maybe didn't want too many people to be aware of it to start with. And I think sometimes you've got to respect that privacy. But, you know, I mean, Fernando Rixon obviously had a higher profile, and that's what happens in football, and I'm sure Dave's aware of that. I mean, he had a terrific career, as you said. He played with Rangers, but Falkirk, I think Dunfermline, and, you know, but it's tragic, you know, it's a horrible disease, and as I say, the tragic if anyone gets it, and when it's something like that. But I don't think he's forgotten. I don't. I'm sure there's a lot of people and a lot of good people trying to help David, but you're right, he doesn't get the same spotlight as someone like Fernando would have had. But you know, I think it's good for someone like yourself to come on and let us know about that, and hopefully you know, people listening will look at that, and as Stephen said, you know, hopefully there'll be some assistance for David if he wants it and if he requires it.
Yeah, I'm not related to him by any manner of means, but I know there was a game last year and there wasn't a great turnout, so it would be good if they did do another, like a wee football tournament thing again, where it does get highlighted a wee bit more.
Yep, well said, Michelle. Don't mind that at all. Thank you for bringing that to the attention of people who perhaps didn't know. So that was the purpose. Thank you very much, Michelle. In Johnston, I think that will be the final call of the evening, looking at the time. Let's wrap up tonight's teaser then. Remember, if you want to send a question in and hear it on the show, it's fulltime@clyde1.com. Tonight's was in tribute to Fernando Rixon. Can you name the starting 11 from his Rangers debut? Now, it was a game against Kaunas back in July 2000, so clearly a European qualifier. The guys have got 9 of the answers and they're only looking for 2 more. What have you got for us?
Andrei Kanchelskis?
Nope. A winger and a striker to go. Right, I think it's probably clue time. The winger is currently a manager in the Championship.
Oh, let me see if I can drag you through
Scottish Championship.
So we're starting off. It's started at the top with Robbie Nielsen. What are we doing?
Yeah, go a bit nearer the bottom. A good bit nearer the bottom.
Right, okay.
And go to the south of the country as well if you're trying to think of it that way.
Alan Johnson.
And one of the men who would have been in the Mortons managerial hot seat after you, Jim Duffy.
Jonathan Johansson.
We got there in the end. Thank you very much, Stephen McGowan and Jim Duffy. A special thanks to Alex Ray, who joined us earlier on in the show, sharing his personal memories of Fernando Rixon on what has been a sad day for Scottish football. Hopefully you've managed to find some enjoyment in sharing the memories with us. We're back tomorrow night from 6 o'clock, massive night in the Europa League. I'll be here with Fraser Wishart and Gordon DL. But in the meantime, just stay right there because Callum Gallagher's up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.